World Mental Health Week, this is Walk In My Shoes Radio, broadcasting live from St. Patrick's Mental Health Services, Dublin 8.
I'm Adam Clayton, and you're listening to Walk In My Shoes Radio, broadcasting live from St. Patrick's University Hospital this October to mark World Mental Health Day.
You feel helpless and you're looking to the sky. Some people would say to accept defeat. What if this is fate, then we'll find a way to cheat. 'Cause oh, we'll say a little prayer. And oh, if the answer isn't fair.
That is Starly, Call On Me. I'm Walk My Shoes Radio. It's Allison Curtis with you until 1 o'clock this afternoon. An absolute pleasure to be part of this at Walk In My Shoes. If you are on Twitter and walkinmyshoes.ie. And if you're listening to this, you'll know that you found us on 105.2, 106.7, 105.5, or 87.7. In the next hour on the show, we're going to be talking to Anne-Marie O'Connor, who is author, best-selling author, and stylist. She has two books on her belt, as I mentioned, and we're going to be focusing on the happy medium and ways to declutter your mind and what kind of happiness that can bring to your daily life, which is really, really important. And we're also going to be talking about the Jonathan Swift Festival and how it's connected to St. Patrick's University Hospital here, where we're broadcasting from this morning. Loads of great tunes coming up as well. The music's been brilliant over the past week when I've been tuning in, and I love this one. Really love this one. Very good message with it as well. Selena Gomez.
Yeah, we don't have to fall from grace. forgot, and no war and anger was ever won. Put out the fire before igniting. Next time you're fighting, kill 'em with kindness, kill 'em with kindness, kill 'em, kill 'em, kill 'em with kindness, kill 'em with kindness, kill 'em with kindness. Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead now.
Selena Gomez, kill him with kindness. It's a good message on Walk in My Shoes Radio. It's Allison Curtis with you. My next guest is best-selling author and stylist. You have lots of strings to your bow, Emery O'Connor. And I was mentioning, and welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And I was mentioning about the Happy Closet, and just very briefly, because that's not what we're going to talk about, but I think people should actually pick it up. You were on my program, Weekend Breakfast, January 2016.
Yeah.
So almost 2 years. But it has greatly influenced, like that day I went home and I was like, okay, I'm going to clear this out. And it's what it is talking about having a relationship with your closet and how clutter can cause unhappiness. Yeah. And I pared it down to exactly everything I actually want to wear. Mm-hmm. And it, so just to tell you, face to face, it really had a big impact on me.
Oh, I'm delighted. Yeah. I'm delighted. Because it's everything I worked from myself, because you know I went through the same problem of having a closet full of clothes and nothing to wear and being this impulse buyer.
It stresses you out.
It's about having more with less, you know?
Exactly. But the happy medium is the one we're going to focus on now. And just give us a bit of an idea about where the idea came from to write the book and how it came about.
I'll tell you where the idea came from. I was actually writing The Happy Closet at the time, and I had moved into my sister's house because the house I was living in was sold. Right. So my bedroom was also my office. So at the time, I think I was like 42. So it was like early 40s, single, still renting, had a cat, but he left me. Like my whole On the outside, my whole life sounded like a country and western song, you know, not that of, you know, an author, but I was doing the thing that I loved and I was never happier. Right. So it just hit me and I was like, you know, sometimes we aspire to this cookie cutter version of reality, mm-hmm. or maybe we have certain big life goals that we think that we need to hit by a certain age. Like I need to get married, I need to buy a house. Mm-hmm. But really it's about finding happiness on your own terms.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what I realized that I had, that I was very satisfied with where I was. Mm-hmm. And granted, there's always going to be things in your life that you're going to want to improve. But the important thing is to be satisfied where you are now, because you'll never be happy with what you get.
Yeah, that's so important. So there's 5 steps within the book. So we're going to take a look at a few, obviously starting at 1.
Yeah.
We might take a song and then come back to the other ones.
Great.
So
okay.
Step 1 is kill comparisons. And do you know what actually happened this week on a Monday? My back went out and it hasn't gone out
I
don't know how long. So what I did, as any sane person would do, is I basically stayed on social media for the whole day on the back, flat on my back, and realized I had to like not follow a lot of these accounts that I was following, because all it did was stress me out.
Yeah. Because to think of Instagram and social media, for as much as it connects us, it can also divide us.
Yeah.
And I think what we have to realize is what's presented is a best of. So it's like the greatest hits.
So it's that kind of the greatest hits of me.
Of
which,
me.
Unless you're me, which is completely like greasy hair, no makeup. I'm like, blah, 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 talking to the camera. But kill comparisons. Is that what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I mean, for me, what I always found was, and a lot of what I use in the happy medium are things that have happened to me as well. So I've fallen foul as well of the compare and despair syndrome. And I think the age in which we live, we need to be very careful, because social comparison is part of our evolutionary makeup. We see how we're progressing next to our peers, and that's a very natural thing.
Okay.
But where it becomes a problem is when we include this 5.5-inch LED backlit widescreen next generation smartphone, and then suddenly keeping up with the Joneses has multiplied to keeping up with the entire world.
And so, that's as you say, using social media has manifested itself not just in like acquiring things, it's the betterment of yourself as well, the constant trying to betterment of yourself, which imagine is
and the great thing is, like, if you want to better yourself, do it in your own terms. Don't try and outdo somebody else, because what we've done is we've defined happiness in how we compare ourselves to others.
Right.
And that's I think where we're going wrong, really. You know, like a quick scan of the internet makes it look like everyone's celebrating a Hallmark moment, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, when you think of the algorithms that are used by social networks, they're not going to show us a picture of some poor young lad who almost made the big time but took a job selling insurance, and they're not going to show us the front row of Mass over that of Fashion Week, you know?
Yeah, of course.
They're going to show us the best of the best.
Comparisons.
Yeah, because that's not happening on an everyday basis. These big broadcastable moments happen maybe a few times in our life if we're lucky, but it's a small, subtle moments that create the storytelling moments of our lives, essentially.
The two stresses I have to say for me are clothing. Like, I'll see all these Instagrams.
Yeah.
I want. This is going to bring happiness. The top I am wearing today.
I love it.
Thank you. So did Sinead.
It's so cute.
I literally got my car and drove completely out of my way to go and buy it. And it has brought me happiness. That's fine. But I saw it online. And food is the other one. I look at somebody's completed dinner and their recipes and I do it. And I go, mine is not picture worthy.
Oh, you meet your sister. I'm the same way.
completely. Step two is get real.
Yeah. I think as a society, we tend to focus on successes rather than failures. So we look at, you know, the game changers, the insta-famous, the overnight entrepreneurs. We think of people who made a name on a few quid and a big idea.
Yeah.
And this is great, but where this, in terms of being inspired, but where it can provide a problem is if we interpret these stories to suit our own lives. So the one-offs and the one-shot deals, you know, they soon become expectations for ourselves without us really, incorporating what our potential is. You know, so we're comparing somebody who maybe was a concert pianist by the time he's 14, and like, we don't have a musical bone in our body, but we're still feeling insecure as a result.
Do you know what's really bad to watch is those children variety shows, and you're like, that child can solve a Rubik's Cube. I'm like, Joan, can you spell Joan? Like, it's very bad. Like, that's bad.
I know, So, like I said before, being better than others is how we've come to define happiness, but what I say in the book is accepting where you are now is crucial to satisfaction. That's not to say that you shouldn't have aspirations for self-improvement, but really accepting where you are now and really enjoying the now, because we're constantly looking towards the future and we're forgetting the lovely conversations we had.
Yeah.
You know, somebody who smiled at us, a stranger.
You're missing the moments.
A stranger smiled at me today and I smiled back and I thought, I don't think I know her. And then I thought to myself, Anne-Marie, does it really matter?
No, she's just admiring your top. That's what she's doing, Anne-Marie. We're going to get some music now. Walk in My Shoes Radio. It's Allison Curtis with Anne-Marie O'Connor. And it is The Beatles. And then we're going to come back and talk about step three.
Call on me.
great to hear that from me to you, the Beatles, on Walk in My Shoes Radio. It is Allison Curtis with you, and Anne-Marie O'Connor is joining me. We're talking about her book, The Happy Medium, and we've gone through two steps. The third step is really important.
Yeah.
Be grateful.
Be grateful. And we hear it all the time in terms of gratitude journals, and we think sometimes it's a bit of hippie woo-woo. But I kind of break down the book, and I say, look, I'm not on the property ladder, never married, can't drive, questionable income, abandoned by a cat.
Yeah.
What a catch. But like on the flip side, I've written two books, which is what my ultimate dream of was ever since I was, you know, in college. That's what I went to college to do. I have a flexible job, which allows me the freedom to write. I live in a place I call home. I have friends and family that I love. And I joke around, I said, if I had a fleet of kids, a high-powered job, Michael Fassbender to call my husband, I never have had the time to do what I love. And, you know, being grateful isn't the consolation prize. It is the prize.
That's a really good way of putting it.
Yeah. So, you know, you may not have a house in the Hollywood Hills or Colin Farrell and Speed Dial. Most of us don't.
Yeah.
But what's worth your attention is what you already have as opposed to what you don't.
But do you have, and obviously we won't be naming names, but I have friends that I feel have achieved all the things that we're told we're supposed to achieve, and they're not any happier than
I am.
But
you look at celebrities. Think of all the celebrities that you hear of who reach all of these peaks.
What do you do next?
And then what do you do next? And then you hear, you know, that have all these drink and drug problems and they're never happy. And that's, you know, the practice of mindfulness teaches us to bring our thoughts back to the now and to appreciate the small, subtle aspects. And the happiest people I know are like that, like my father is one of the people that, you know, I always reference. And according to my mother, because he died when I was very young, I was four, but she was like, he was one happy man. He just like loved his family, his dogs. He wasn't interested in, you know, like...
And I know, like you've spent...
Impressing people, I suppose.
Exactly. Yeah. And you've spent time living in another country and here.
Yeah.
And it's really acute to me when I go back to Canada. It's just stuff
stuffication
everywhere.
Yeah.
And I was never... My parents were never really like that. Like, what I do want is space. I have to say that. I do crave more of that. And that's good for mental health as well. Yeah. But I don't want stuff. And my sister and I have a cottage in Canada. And we had... Our parents passed away when we were teenagers, so we had all the things that were in a house crammed into this. And only over the last 5 years, each time I go back, we get trucks out and we get rid of it and rid of it and rid of it. And now we love that place.
Yeah,
we always did, but now we're happy and content there because there's no stuff. It's just the space and the place.
Because stuff is distracting, and we all love
such a
like
problem
pretty
in North America.
Things. But like when it becomes your kind of reason for being, I think, and they've shown it time and time again in studies, it's connections that create that sense of that feeling of well-being.
Yeah.
And we're sacrificing connections for acquiring material things. Mm. And I love my clothes and I love my bits and pieces, but at the end of the day, what makes you happy are the memories. I was speaking to someone recently and they said they're bringing their daughter to Lapland and she said, it's really expensive. And she goes, but I know the memory will last forever.
She goes,
we'll live on beans, but it'll last forever. And I thought, that's what you remember are
create
the memories.
Experiences.
Creating experiences, shared experiences with other people.
Yeah, no stuff. Okay, step four, celebrating the small moments.
Yeah, and it goes back to what I was saying before. Small moments are so overlooked in favor of the big Instagrammable, broadcastable moments. Small moments happen more frequently than Kanye West Twitter rants.
Yes, yeah, of course.
They are everywhere. So, you know, from the great conversations that you have, from your kids smiling or watching your kids sleep or that first cup of coffee when you get up in the morning. These are the things that make you, that kind of give you all the feels. The big broadcastable moments, although they're wonderful, you know, you don't have to go on an Eat, Pray, Love excursion to Southeast Asia or bungee jump off the Burj Khalifa Tower to create a life worth living. You know, they happen infrequently and they're wonderful and they add a certain degree of like a frame of reference to our lives.
But I savor them definitely. I think more so since my daughter's arrived. Because even the other day, she was like the light was shining in on her face as she was trying to go to bed and she just lost the top tooth and she looked kind of crazy and she was like and she was like talking and I was just looking at her going, she's actually kind of mental right now, but like I'll always remember that and what she was talking about and I love it. Step number five, decide to be satisfied.
And this has a theory to it, and it was a decision-making theorist called Herbert A. Simon, and it was 1956, and he said that he coined a word called satisficing, which meant that good enough trumped best in matters of judgment. And this is, think about it, this is 1956,
that's
pre-internet.
Actually,
and what he maintained is it's not humanly possible to access every single piece of information at our disposal, let alone expect our brains to process it. You fast forward to the digital age where we're consumed with information. If there's no such thing as the optimal choice, what he maintained is, what are we chasing after? Right. So, you know, none of us is truly a satisficer unless you're Yoda or the Dalai Lama.
Yeah.
But, you know, it just takes a little satisfaction to go a long way. And all you can really do in life, as far as I'm concerned, is your best version of best. Not someone else's version of best or society's version of best, but your best version of best.
That's interesting.
Then you've just got to leave well enough alone and enjoy your life instead of, you know, complaining about why or trying to get it to fit rather a cookie cutter version of reality.
So we feel like, you know, this at our current age, and we've had a lot of time to reflect.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Do you think, how important do you think that this would be for a 20-year-old to hear?
I think it's crucial. And I've had some feedback, funnily enough, by email from a teacher, and he said, I just want to, you know, to tell you that I enjoyed your TED talk and I enjoyed the book.
You should be doing school.
Yeah. Well, there's a chapter in it about selfies, about, and also about body image and, you know, just how we see ourselves reflected in the eyes of others. But he said he found it to be sound advice. And that was one of the, I suppose, nicest pieces of feedback that he showed it to his students. So I thought, well, that's lovely.
There's something on that, Amory. Yeah. There is something on that. Especially, I mean, it's affecting both boys and girls growing up.
Yeah. It affects everyone. I think it's like gender aside. It's the whole act of comparison and living your life. It's a question of not being mastered by the screen, to have it as part of your life rather than, exactly.
Well, as I learned on Monday, lying on my sore back, I had to get off of it more and actually look outside my phone for sure.
It also distracts you a lot and it eats into your attention span. So you think of how different it is when you read a book and it feels like time expands.
I know.
And then like you're online and it feels like, where did just 3 hours just go?
This conversation is longer than 140 characters. I am lost.
I know.
The happy medium, Amory O'Connor, it's a pleasure. Thank you for coming
Thank you for having me.
Our Shoes Radio. We're going to get some music now, and this is Rag & Bone Man, Skin.
When I heard that sound, when the walls came down, I was thinking about you, about you. When my skin grows old, when my breath runs cold, I'll be thinking about you, about you. Seconds from my heart, a bullet from the door, helpless I surrender, shackled by your love. Holding me like this, poison on your lips. Only when it's over, the silence hits so hard. 'Cause it was almost love, it was almost love. It was almost love, it was almost love. When I love, it was almost. We bleed ourselves in vain. How tragic is this game? Turn around, I'm holding on to someone, but the love's gone. Carrying the load with wings that feel like stone. Knowing that we nearly fell so far, now it's hard to tell. Yeah, we came so close, it was almost love. It was almost love, it was almost love. When I But I see you on the other side. We can try all over again. When I love. It was almost love. It was almost love. It was almost love.
With the right support, we can all enjoy life. Taking that first step is possible with St. Patrick's Mental Health Services. If you have concerns about your mental health, talk to your GP or call our support line on 01-249-3333. Don't wait to enjoy life again. St. Patrick's Mental Health Services. Empowering recovery.
For World Mental Health Week, this is Walk In My Shoes Radio, broadcasting live from St. Patrick's Mental Health Services, Dublin 8.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see, no, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid, just as long as you stand by.
That again, Benny King and Stand By Me on Walk In My Shoes Radio. It is Alison Curtis with you. Normally find me on Today FM on Weekend Breakfast, Saturday and Sunday. So this is a really a nice change, raising awareness for World Mental Health Week. This is Walk In My Shoes Radio, walkinmyshoes.ie for more information. And thank you so much to Emery O'Connor, who just came in to talk about the happy medium and swap the weight of having it all for having more with less. And it's a great story about how she came to write that book, and it's available in all good bookshops. And my next guests are going to be talking about something very special happening in November. It is the Jonathan Swift Festival and how it's tied in with St. Patrick's University Hospital here. And get in touch if you're on Twitter at Walk In My Shoes. And we're going to carry on with some music. An apt tune, Happy by Pharrell Williams.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
and happy on Walking My Shoes Radio. It is Alison Curtis with you until 1 o'clock this afternoon. It's flown by. Been here since 11. It's flown by. Really fascinating conversations and Walking My Shoes at Walking My Shoes. If you're on Twitter, use the hashtag WIMSFM. Now I have Sinead Mooney and Clarissa DeLapp opposite me.
Maloney.
It's right in front of me. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
How are you?
Very well, thanks.
Good. We're just talking about our various backgrounds and how none of us are originally from here, from Ireland. But it's fine. It's good. So tell us a little bit about the connection to the Jonathan Swift Festival and St. Pat's.
Okay, so I coordinate the Twilight Program, which is a social, recreational and therapeutic program run here in the hospital for service users. And it's been running since 2007, so
wow.
10 years now, which wow. is fantastic. And we do an evening and weekend program, and part of that program is to do collaborations, not only with service users, but with artists from outside of the hospital, different theatre companies, organisations. So in recent years, I think the last 4 years, maybe a bit more, we've been collaborating with the First Fortnight Festival, which is Mental
incredible.
Health Festival,
incredible.
Which is incredible, and we're absolutely privileged to be collaborating with them. And then I suppose, I don't know really how it happened, it was quite organic actually, how we kind of just made contact with each other, St. Patrick's Cathedral mm-hmm. and the Twilight Programme here in the hospital, and also with First Fortnight, and we decided to collaborate together on a number of events.
Tell us about the programme that you run in the hospital here. When you say it's on the weekends and nighttime, is this people that use the services can pick and choose? And tell us about the actual programme as well.
So the programme is kind of an arts and health based programme, and so what we provide, really, it's actually based on service user feedback.
Okay.
So we would offer something, and then we get feedback from people to see is it something that they want again or they want to repeat of. So we have it's quite varied. We have everything from guided meditation sessions. We have creative writing sessions.
Wow.
We have recently, we're actually in the middle of an expressive dance project. So we have an expressive dance kind of workshop every Wednesday evening, and then we've got a big expressive dance event finale, which is happening in the lecture hall here at the end
of
the month.
And there's so much proof as to how these sort of these activities
absolutely,
can improve mental health.
Absolutely, because I think a lot of people here, the focus is on inpatients here.
Yeah.
So really what we try and look at is not to really presume how people's days have been here, but some people might have had very challenging days, very engaging days with groups or with therapy, psychoeducational groups. So really what we provide is a space for people to process what's going on for them in a really gentle way, and sometimes in a non-verbal way. And you can do that obviously through the arts, through music, through singing.
Is it kind of like taking attention away as well, like focusing on something else?
It's not, it can be. It's not really about, I suppose, taking the attention away, really. It's not really about avoiding or replacing with something. It's really about providing that kind of gentle space for people to really reflect on their day or their week. And sometimes they can do that through meditation, sometimes through writing, sometimes through singing, movement, drama, dance.
Sounds amazing. So, it really does.
Yeah, it is amazing, actually. And I love what I do. I love the work because it's so varied. And also the collaborations are always so sweet as well. Yeah. I mean, we really have worked very hard on creating an ethos around what we do. And so really, all our collaborations that we do really, I think are really always varied, really exciting. And we're really excited about this collaboration with St. Patrick's Cathedral. It's really special, I think, because of the link that we both have with Jonathan Swift.
So, Clarissa, tell us your connection to everything.
Yeah. Sure. So, this year marks Jonathan Swift's 350th birthday on the 30th of November. And so, obviously, we were keen to work with the hospital in celebrating Swift's legacy, and an important part of which is the fact that he left money in his will to found the hospital, which is still in use today. So, we are partnering with a variety of organizations, but this collaboration is particularly exciting because it gives us an opportunity to talk a little bit about Swift's legacy in terms of social activism, engagement in mental health, and things like that, which many people might not realize that this hospital was founded with the money. that Swift left in his will. So.
I didn't realize until earlier this week that that was the case. Like, that's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so there's important dates coming up, and just tell us a little bit about it as well. So it's the 23rd of November, 24th of November, which is Thursday, Friday, and then the 26th of November, which is a Sunday. And just tell us a bit more about what's happening.
Sure. So it runs from the 23rd to the 26th. And then the sort of post-festival event on Swift's actual birthday is a very special concert taking place on the 30th of November. And again, that's in collaboration with St. Patrick's and with the first Fortnight Festival. We have some main stage programs that are taking place at the cathedral, which are going to be really, really special. Mm-hmm. So on the Thursday night, we have an opening evening. Jim Sheridan will be introducing Words Upon the Window Pane, so that's really exciting. We have Paul Howard coming in on the Friday to talk about satire and fiction. On the Sunday, we have a very special dinner taking place in the cathedral, which is going to be a menu prepared from directly from the 17th century.
There's no vegetarian options, I imagine.
I doubt it.
There might be a little bit of eel on the menu, so if you're pescatarian, then you'll be fine. And on the Saturday night, we have a concert with Glenn Hansard.
That'll be good.
Yes, that's going to be really excellent as well. So, yeah, it's really, we're trying to kind of bring in a lot of contemporary voices who we see as sort of embodying the legacy of Swift. So not just sort of a history festival, not just a literary festival, kind of a variety of perspectives.
I love, like, even hearing, like, thinking of the thought process behind things like this. So it's like, you know, people might know a little bit about Swift, but you guys are, what you're doing is contemporary. You're making it about the contemporary and how people can like access it and, you know, envision it all now and here in 2017, which takes a lot of thought. Like, a lot of thought goes into it.
It's definitely true, though, that Swift's probably more relevant now than he ever has been in some ways. You know, he wrote a piece on the art of political lying, which obviously has been a hot topic in the past year or so.
Who's driving that agenda?
So, no, I mean, I think there's a lot in Swift that people perhaps don't realize, for someone who was born 350 years ago, how much kind of really resonates
today.
That
is fascinating in and of itself. And so just tell us as well online where people can find out more information if they'd like to get to any of these events.
Yeah, so it's on jonathanswiftfestival.ie where you can get all the tickets for the events that Clarissa has marked out, some of them. There are many more events. There's many more walking tours. There's also, we're doing a special kind of Jonathan Swift historical tours here at the hospital. And those dates are Thursday the 23rd of November, Friday the 24th of November, and Sunday the 26th of November. So it's part of the festival. It's part of the collaboration with St. Patrick's Cathedral. So we're running walking tour, historical walking tours, and we have Alice Coughlin, who is a writer and director with Wonderland Theatre Company. And she's a, I suppose she's, I would call her an expert on Swift. She's studied and researched him for years, so she's really up on her Swift, and she's going to be giving the historical tours. We've also got an actor, Damien Devaney, and he is going to be playing Swift.
Great.
And he's going to be reading out some of Swift's work as well, and also some of the some of his letters to Vanessa.
It's fascinating.
Yeah, to some of his ladies.
It's amazing. Well, thank you both for your time this morning and coming on air, Walking My Shoes Radio. And and as you say, just give out the information again, the website, just for people.
Okay, so the website is jonathanswiftfestival.ie.
Excellent.
And you can also go on Eventbrite.
Yeah.
And get
tickets there.
If you look up Swift Historical Tours, you'll be able to book directly from Eventbrite, but also the links are on the jonathanswiftfestival.ie as well.
Pleasure to meet both of you. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
The Magician featuring Years and Years Sunlight.
Is it all you need to feel this heat? To feel like everything's all that you dreamed? Is it all too much? Did you get enough? Does it set on fire all the things that you touch? And it fills me up, and it starts to shine, and I see it burn.
and it starts to shine, and I see it burn when you bring me sunlight, and it's all you need to feel this heat, to feel like everything's all that you dreamed. And is it all too much? Did you get enough? Does it set on fire all the things that you touch? And it fills me up, and it starts to shine, and I see it.
Support, we can all enjoy life. Taking that first step is possible with St. Patrick's Mental Health Services. If you have concerns about your mental health, talk to your GP or call our support line on 01-249-3333. Don't wait to enjoy life again. St. Patrick's Mental Health Services. Empowering recovery.
That is Sybil, and when I'm good and ready, it is Allison Curtis with you from Today FM on Walk in My Shoes Radio. And if you are on Twitter, I've just sent out a tweet, my own, at Allison Today FM, and it's WIMSFM. And we'll do loads of photographs and stay in touch with the guys across the day at Walk in My Shoes. And you can use that hashtag WIMSFM. It's been an absolute pleasure, and it's flown by. I can't believe it. Coming up a little bit later on the station today, Patty Courtney, actor Patty Courtney, is going to be in with Young Persons presenter Diana Buccini, and also very excited to be hearing this after Patty Courtney, James Patrice, who is Snapchat star and The Biggest Loser in the most positive way over the last few weeks, is going to be in hosting a show. So James Patrice, and that'll be great listening. I've got a few more tracks before I head off, and this is The Greatest, and see ya. Listening for the last 2 hours, and Patty Courtney is going to be up next, followed by James Patrice on Walk in My Shoes Radio. An amazing thing to be part of. Thank you to Sinead for asking me to be part of it, and best of luck in a few months' time as well. And yeah, I'll talk to you soon. This is Ed Sheeran and Sing.
It's late in the evening, lost on the side. I've been sad with you. Ignoring everybody here, we wish they would disappear, so maybe we could get down.
Cause love is a blaze. I saw flames from the side of the stage, and the fire brigade comes in a couple of days. Until then, we got nothing to say and nothing to know, but something to drink and maybe something to smoke. Let it go until our roads are changed. Singing, we found love in a local rave. No, I don't really know what I'm supposed to say, but I can just figure it out and hope and pray. I told her my name, I said it's nice to meet you. Then she handed me a bottle of water filled with tequila. I already know she's a keeper. Just from this one small act of kindness, I'm in deep. If anybody finds out, I'm meant to drive home, but I drunk all of it now. No, so we're enough. We just sit on the couch. One thing led to another, now just kiss on my mouth.
I need you, darling. Come on, set the tone. If you feel the falling, won't you let me know?
Kicks in.